Okay, we're beginning here. Nine lines down on the top of Kuf Kof Tet, Amud Aleph. The Gemara is discussing the Braita that we brought down. If you have an Eiver Menachai, which is Mitamei, like Tumat Nivela, and then you slice away Basar from that Eiver Menachai, it has a classification of Basar Menachai. Now, Basar Menachai is not Mitamei Kinivela. That's the difference between Eber Menachai and Eber Mina Nevela. Eber Menachai, the Basar that comes away from it, is similar or equivalent to Basar Menachai, which does not have Tuma. Basar that comes away from Eber of a Nevela has a din of Basar Nevela. So over here you have Basar that is being torn away, cut away from an Eber Menachai. The Braita says that if you have in mind to make it into Ochlim before you cut it, then what you cut off has Tuma associated with it. On the other hand, if you only have in mind make it into a chlim after you've cut it, then there's no Tuma associated with it. So then we had the discussion between Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi Asi, and the question that was raised was, why is it that when you have in mind to make it a chlim before you cut it, that it's Tameh? That's Tumat Beit Hasdarim. The connection between the piece you're cutting off and the Aver that it's coming from, that connection is a non-visible connection. It's Tumat Beit Hasdarim. And by Tumat Beit Hasdarim, we learned earlier in Bahima Mekasha that it doesn't convey Tuma. So how over here is there Tuma being conveyed? To that, Rabbi Abba Bar Momel said, it's authored by Rabbi Meir. And then Rabbi Asi says, I heard that answer so many times, I don't understand that answer, because don't you think Rabbi Meir distinguishes between something that is Hechsher, the Kabbal Tuma, and something that doesn't have Hechsher, the Kabbal Tuma? In the case in Bahima Mekasha, according to Rashi, the case there is the case where the animal that was in utero extended an arm out before the Shechita. That arm that was extended out before the Shechita and then is retracted does not become Tahor, or does not become Mutar Bachila through the Shechita of the mother. The question is that arm or leg that extended outside the womb before the Shechita, it has a din of Tumat Nevela. Does it affect the remainder of the fetus that's inside the mother? The Chachamim say that there is no impact because that's Tumat Beit Hasdarim. They're connected in a way that's a non-visible connection. The part where that Aver that is Tameh connects to the main animal is in a location that's not visible, therefore it's Tumat Beit Hasdarim, there's no Tumat. Rabbi Meir disagrees and says there is Tumat Beit Hasdarim, and therefore there is Tuma. The fetus is Tamei Magat, Tumat Nevela, and the point that Rabbi Abba Marmomo is making, that's Rabbi Meir Shita, from there we're going to bring over here. To that, Rabbi Asi says, how can you do that? Over there, the Shita of the mother was Makshir, the fetus, to be Mekabel Tuma. Over here, you have nothing that is Makshirit, Mekabel Tuma. So how can you compare the cases? Rabbi Meir clearly should distinguish between something that's already Mukshar the Kabbal Tuma versus something that's not Mukshar the Kabbal Tuma. And Rava answered, who says there's a problem here? Dilma Bishuhukshar. Maybe over here there was also Efshar the Kabbal Tuma. Who says that it wasn't Mukshar the Kabbal Tuma? After I had in mind to make it into Ochel, something washed it, something came over it, and now it's Mukshar the Kabbal Tuma. And so the cases are equivalent. So that was where we left off. Now we have the question of Amalei Rabba Bar Avchanan L'Rova, Lamali Hechsher. Why do you even need to go that far? Why do you need Hechsher the Kabbal Tuma at all? Harei Mitamei Tuma Charmura Agav Aviv. We have a principle that we've discussed a number of times, which is learned from Nevelata Uf Tahor, that if you are in the end going to be Mitamei, a higher level of Tuma, meaning you're going to have inherent Tuma come out of this item, then the item does not require Hechsher the Kabbal Tuma. That comes from Nevela Tov Tahor, whereby in the beginning, when you come into contact with Nevela Tov Tahor, there's no Tuma associated with that Nevela Tov Tahor. In the end, if you swallow it, the Torah says, then it's Mitamei the Adam and the Bigadim. So in the end, that will have a Tuma Chamura. Therefore, up front, the Nevela Tov Tahor does not require Hechsher. If you have in mind to eat it and make it into a chlim, it'll be Mekabel Tuma right away, because in the back end, it's going to be Tamei Tuma Chamura. That is, as opposed to the Alkol Zera Zerua, the food items that the Torah mentions, they will never have a Sofo, the Tuma Chamura. they will never have inherent Tumah. They are, by definition, items that can receive Tumah. They are Uchlim. They are not going to be conveying Tumah. If that's the case, then the distinction means that when you are Mitamei Tumah Chamura on the back end, then you don't need Hekshir. If you are not going to be Mitamei Tumah Chamura on the back end, then you do require Hekshir. So similarly over here, the Basar Minachai here came away from an Eiver Minachai. The Eiver Minachai is Mitamei Tumat Nivela, which is Tumah Chamura. If that's the case, he's saying Agav Aviv, while it was attached to the Eiver Minachai, that made it have Tumah Chamura. Because of that, it should already not require Hekshir in this case. Amar Lei, Rava's response to him is, Kishishimesh, Maseh Eitz Shimesh. When it was there, it was acting like a piece of wood. Now this is going to be an answer or a refrain that we're going to go over numerous times over here. The idea being twofold. In this instance, there's also literally that it acts like wood. But in more generic sense, the halachic status of the item is different now than it was before. Beforehand, it had a status of Eiver Minachai. Over here, it has a status of Ochel. While it was Ochel, it never had the status of Eiver Minachai. I mean, you've switched the status or what the effect of the halacha is on this item. So in this case in particular, when you have in mind to make it into Ochel, and then you're going to take it away, Rashi says, V'hashta it'aved le'ochel. Now you've made it into food. U'panim chadoshot ba'u lekan. It's a new entity now. It's a totally new entity. You can't see this as a continuum of the Eiver Minachai. This is Basar Minachai once it turns or is pulled away from the Eiver Minachai. Once it separates, it becomes a new entity that is not the entity that it was before. So then you can't argue that the entity before has some halachic impact on the entity that exists now. Yes, the contact between them can convey Tumah, but the item itself, which had an Ava Tumah beforehand, is not going to impact the new Ochel that you have here. It's a new entity, and that new entity is not Mushpa, is not influenced by the Eiver Minachai. In addition, in this particular case, Eiver Minachai, you don't need to be Basar to be Eiver Minachai. Eiver Minachai applies even to the bones, and even to the sinews. It's an Eiver. It's a whole limb. The whole limb includes basar, gidim, atzamot. That means that if this basar was wood, it would still be tamei tumat Eiver Minachai. The fact that it is basar is irrelevant until you cut it away. While it's still part of the Eiver, it could have been any one of those three items, including being an inedible item, and it would have been subject to the tumah of Eiver Minachai. Once you cut it away, then it becomes important that it's basar and not Eiver Minachai. So here too, you see that there's a change in the status of this item, not only vis-a-vis the halachic standing, but even vis-a-vis what matters about this item. While it's part of the Eiver Minachai, it does not matter that it's basar. It could be anything, and it'd be Eiver Minachai, as long as it's a part of this Eiver. Once you separate it away, then it's important that it's edible, because it needs to be ochel. So that change says that whatever happened before is not relevant to what happened now. The ochel that you're looking at now has nothing to do with the Eiver Minachai that it was attached to beforehand. Therefore, the Tumah Chamura of the Eiver Minachai is not influential over the Ochel that's now, and that's why it requires a new Hechsher, the Kabul Tumah. So Tosavot, again, reiterates what we're saying here. Kishishimesh, Masei, Shimesh, Perish. Me'oto Shem, Shayam Etamei Tumah Chamura. What gave it its halachic status, that gave it the Tumah Chamura, Dainu Mishum Eiver Minachai, Ata, Ein Eiver Minachai. She'ein bo ela basar, ve'ein karoy eiver. It's lost its status as an eiver. It's now basar and not eiver. That's a new entity that we're speaking about over here. Amar Abaye, Hare Amru, we have a halacha from the Gemara in Pesachim. Kofet se'or. You have a bay lump or block of se'or, sourdough, rising agent. She'yichta li'yeshiva, that you now designated to sit on. Bitela. It no longer has a din of se'or. It no longer is problematic to have it on Pesach. Restriction of having se'or in your house on Pesach is only when the se'or is ochel, when it's an edible item or it's used in food substances. If you change its status by indicating that you want to sit on it, most likely the scenario here is where it's hardened. It's already become like a block or a brick, and then you're now designated, instead of being used for its ochel purpose, now you're going to use it as a seat. Going to be a nice little stool or seat. That's the way the Rambam explains it, that it's already dried out, or you have basted it with plaster on top of it. So there's something that makes it very clear and indicative that you're making it into a kli. On the other hand, the Balei Tosafot and the Gemara and Pesachim say that's true, even if it's still ochel. And once you've had in mind to transform it into a kli, that is sufficient to change the status of the item, and it no longer has a din of ochel. That makes it batel from two perspectives. It's batel from the perspective of Seor and Pesach. That means you're no longer Chayav and Pesach for it. It's also batel from the side of Tuma. You don't have Tuma Tuchlim anymore because it's not designated as ochel. Tumata lav d'oraita. The Tuma over here that will be associated with this item must not be a Torah prescribed Tuma. Disach hadatcha d'oraita. If you think that it becomes Tamei mid'oraita, Metzino d'ochlim, shimitamim Tuma chamura. Then you have a situation in which the ochlim become tamei tuma chamura, which means that this seor that was once ochel now will have the capacity to become tamei like a kli, and that means that it can end up having a very high level of tuma. And if that's the case, now you have ochlim that can't reach a level of tuma chamura. Rashi says with regards to tuma chamura, both the idea that it is able to exude its own tuma, or the fact that it could be an abhatuma. Rashi tells us that when it comes to ochlim, even if they come into contact directly with a mate, they don't become an abhatuma, they are automatically a rishon the tuma. A mate is an avi avota tuma. So a person that comes into contact with a mate is an abhatuma. So you can have an individual or a kli become an abhatuma. Ochlim and mashkim cannot become an avatuma from their contact with a mate, because of the way the psukim lay out the din of something that can be tuma, that it becomes tuma, can convey tuma. Not getting into the details right now, Rashi explained it back in the beginning of the parak, but the idea being that ochlim, by definition, never reach a level of tuma chamura. But here, this seor has the capacity now to be a kli, and a kli can be mikabel tuma, even of an avatuma. So what Abaye is saying is, if this conversion is a conversion to recognize midoraita, which means now the tuma that it accepts as a kli is tuma midoraita, I now just found a case of ochlim that can reach a tuma chamura. And you told me that ochlim always need hechser because they never reach a tuma chamura. So therefore he says it must be a conversion midorabanan, which means that only rabbinically does it accept tuma as a kli now, not midoraita, because otherwise you'd have ochlim that reached tuma chamura. And as you correctly pointed out, the answer is the same answer we just gave before, which is kishishimesh maseich shimesh, which means that before it was ochel, now it's a kli. So what's becoming tamei now, tuma chamura, has nothing to do with the ochlim that were there before. The conversion is so dramatic and complete that you have ochel before, and now you have a kli. You're dealing with different entities completely. Tosafot, just as an aside, says what Abaye says is very difficult. Even absent the answer that we're giving over here, it's difficult because it says there in the Gemara Pesachim, you're not chayav for chametz on Pesach. So, or on Pesach is a doraita issue. And we're saying the conversion to a kli makes it that it's ois soor now. So he says, if you're telling me it's only a rabbinic conversion, then how do you get out of the problem of having soor on Pesach? Tosafot just leaves that. He says, how can you keep it on Pesach? So Tosafot just points out that you can't have it both ways. You're dealing with two issues here. You're dealing with Tuma, and you're dealing with Chometz. The conversion from Chometz that makes it mutar to keep it on Pesach has to be on Doraita level. Otherwise, you couldn't keep it in your house. So he says, how is Abai even suggesting that it's Midorabanan and not Midoraita? He leaves that as a tzarechio, and it's just the point that we're focused on the Tuma side of it over here, but the truth is there's another side to it which would have to be Doraita in terms of the conversion. The Tosafot Rosh answers this problem by using something we noted from Tosafot before, which is maybe there's a difference between Machshava with regards to Tuma and Machshava with regards to Chametz. And that is that by Chametz, it's sufficient that you have intent to not have it be Seor the Ochel, and it's no longer Ochel, therefore you're not in violation of Chametz, Bepesach, or Seor Bepesach. On the other hand, for Tuma, We know from the Mishnayot and Kelim, in order to transform something and take it out of the world of Tumah, you can't just have a machshava, you need a maisa. Given that, maybe what we're saying over here is that Mida Rabbanan, there's a transformation for Tumah. Mida Oraita, there is a transformation for Chametz. Because the threshold to transform Chametz is machshava, which you can do. But for Tumah, you need something more than that, which you haven't done over here. And therefore, it's not so far-fetched to make such a distinction. Now, Amar Abai, Hare Amru, Tikrove Avodat Kuchavim, Shaluchlim, if you have things that were offered before Avodah Zarah that were food items, Mitamim Be'ohel, they take on a din of Tumat Ohel, Tumata Lav Doraito. Once again, Abai says that it must be that this Tumah that we're speaking about here is a Tumah Midrabanan and not Midoraita. Disagadatcha Doraita, if you think it's a Torah problem, Matzino Lochlim, Shemitamim, Tumah Chamura. Then we find Ochlim again that reach a level of Tumah Chamura. And therefore you have to say the Pasuk that tells us that Tekrovet Avodah Zarah has a din of Tumat Ohel because Ve'achlum Zivchei Meitim, that we call those Tekrovet Avodah Zarah as being items that have a din like a mate and have Tumat Ohel associated with them. That din must only be a din derabanan, an asmachta midrabanan, because if it was doraita, now again I have ochlim that can end up with a tuma chamura. They started out only being ochlim where they couldn't have tuma chamura. All of a sudden now they have a din of tuma chamura. Over here it's the most difficult of all the cases we're going to bring here. The answer that's given is kishishimesh masay et shimesh. Once again here the Gemara gives the same answer. It's really changed. There's a new entity over here. Now, the new entity over here is different than the previous case. In the previous case, you changed something from ochel into a kli. So there, not only is there a halachic change in the item, there's also a property change, we'll call it, in the item. You changed it from being something you're going to eat to something you're going to sit on. That changes the, we'll call it, the physical properties of the item. You have a different consideration about them. And in addition to that, there's a halachic change. Once it was ochel before, now it's a kli. Over here, there really is only a halachic change in the status of the item. There really is no physical change in the item. And that's Rashi says over here, Maseh H. So asurim b'hana'ah. Since they are now asur b'hana'ah, because they were tekrovet avodah zarah, ubetalo me'achila. Therefore, you can't eat it anymore. V'naseh ke'etzim ha'nevadim. And now it makes it as if it is eitz that was worshipped or being used in worship. It's a conversion of the item, but it's not really a conversion of the item. It's a halachic conversion of the item. It's only because it's now osur b'hana'ah that Rashi claims that it's called eitz now. It's an eitz because you can no longer benefit or do anything with it. So it's useless. It's worthless. That's why it's an eitz. So that claim Rashi makes is the conversion or the change here is between what was ochel before. Now it's no longer ochel because you can't utilize it. It's now asur b'hana'ah. And that asur b'hana'ah makes it as if it's a piece of wood. And that's a different entity than the ochel that was there before. But here the change is all halachic in nature. It's only because it's classified as avodah zarah. It's not that you actually did something physically or changed the utilization of the item. I would have said when you feed it to the avodah zarah, you're like the person eating it. There's no difference. You're treating it like ochel. Whether it's ochel that is presented to an individual to eat, or whether it's ochel that's presented to God to quote unquote eat, right? There's no real change in the utilization of the way that you use the item. The only difference is, now it's a surbana. So therefore, there's a halachic change in the item. So I could see, possibly, a distinction in this case versus the other cases here, where here it seems to be that it's really a halachic change in the status. Amar Rabbi, Hare Amru, Chiburei Ochlim, Kekelim Damu. If you have ochel that really doubles as a piece of a kli, it turns into a kli. The classic example that's brought in the Chazal is in a case where you have a trough in which you knead dough. And the trough has cracks in it, has holes in it. So then you have dough that goes into those holes or those cracks, and it hardens in there, and basically now becomes a part of the kli. So you are mevatel it to the kli to become a part of the kli. It's a plug, it's like a cement that's sitting in the kli to plug the holes or keep it whole. So then the ochlim that are there take on the status of a kli. So again, tumatan lav doraita, the fact that that dough now that's plugging the hole in the kli has a status like a kli, can't be midoraita. The isagadach midoraita, matzino lochel shemetame tuma chamura. Once again, now you have a claim that can reach a level of tuma chamura because now it's a kli. Kli can become an abatuma, unlike ochlim. So now I have something that is sofola tame tuma chamura, and it's ochel. Rabbi answers again, kishishimesh, matzeh shimesh. Before it was ochel, now it's a kli. You're mevatel it to the kli. That's why it becomes like a kli. You're not going to eat it anymore. You're utilizing it like a kli. You're putting it in there to plug the kli. That's why it's different. So you can see the difference between this case and the previous case. In this case, there's a clear change between it was ochel, and now you're intending to use it as a kli. Yes, it's the same physical item, but the item's purpose is different because you wanted it to be ochel. Now you have it as a kli. There is also a halachic status change because of that, but there's both. There's both a utilization change, which has nothing to do with halacha. The change from ochel to kli is because of your way that you're using it, not because there's a halachic change in the item. It's kli, instead of eating it, you're leaving it there to be there permanently. So that changes it, irrespective of the halachic status. Then there's also, because of that, a halachic status change. In the case of the Avodah Zarah, there is a halachic change in the item that precipitates the differential in utilization, which is now you can't use it because of that halachic change. So that's the difference in those two. I'm just highlighting that it's slightly different, and you may not have said it in that previous case, yet we do say it in the Gemara. So Amalei Rav Papa the Rava, a similar genre of question. Had it's not the Mishnah that says, Chelev Nevela Bakfarim. This is what we had in yesterday's daf. You have the fats that are surim in the villages, tzarech machshava v'hekshar. In order for them to be ochlim, you have to intend for them to be ochlim, and then they need extra the kabel tuma. So now, first of all, why they need machshava? Rashi gave two different reasons yesterday as to why that is, and today he brings the third reason. Probably one of them is a derivative of this reason. He says, v'chelev lav barachiluhu, fats are not edible items, they're not things that people eat. Even for non-Jews, unless you're under pressure. Meaning that, unless you're desperate, you're not going to eat the fats, you're going to eat the flesh, and not the chelev of the animal. The chelev is a ancillary item, it's not a primary ochel. Rashi's reference over here is, I think, to what he said yesterday, which is the difference between the kfarim and the cities is, in the kfarim, they don't have so many people. They check the animal. There's enough meat there for everybody to eat. If you have a choice between eating the meat and the chelev, they're going to eat the meat. In the city, where there's limited food and there are poorer people, then they end up eating not just the meat, they eat the chelev. So this answer that Rashi gives over here, explanation that Rashi gives over here, could be correlated with that answer over there. The second answer that Rashi gave, in terms of Ashirim, that the chelev is actually the better part, and only in the cities are they wealthy enough to use it, but that's not true in the kfarim. That doesn't fit with what Rashi says over here. This is correlated with the other reason that Rashi gave yesterday. But be that as it may, it's clear here that the chelev in the kvarim, which is a sur to be eaten by Jews, then you have to have in mind or intent to make it into ochel because it's not by default an ochel. And when you do that, it also needs hekshar. Rav Papa suggests, tumato agav kulya lav doraita. The fact that it's tamei because of the kulya is not a din doraita. The kulya is the kidney, which we already saw has a din of ochlim. The fats, the chelev that's around it, is one of the fats that are a surim. And that fat completely surrounds the kidney, to the point where you can't get access to the kidney. That should have been something then that does not have a din of a shomer, because we learned already that a shomer, or the tumat of a shomer is only possible if you can get access to the basar that's inside. That's why the beitzat asheretz had to have a hole in it in order for you to be tamei when you touch the egg. The bone had to have a hole in it in order that you become tamei from the marrow that is inside. Because the shomer only has an issue as a shomer if you have a possibility of tumat negiyah. So we said by the kidney that there was no possibility of doing negiyah with the kidney. So why should the fats, the chelev around it, be a shomer for the kidney and be tamei tumat nevela? The answer that Rava gave over there is that there are all of these fibrous pieces of flesh that come out of the chelev that you're really able to touch the kidney because it shoots out these little white things that are pieces of basar, and when you touch them you actually are touching the kidney in a sense, and therefore you really do have negiyah, and the chelev around it is a shomer. So therefore when you come into contact with the chelev, even chelev generally does not have a din of tumat nevela, over there, it will have a din of Tumat Veila because it's a shomer to the Kuya. So what Rav Papa is pointing out is that Tuma of the shomer of the Chalev that's around it must be a Tuma Midrabanan. Because it was Tuma Doraita, Metzinu Lohuchel, Shemetame Tuma Chamura. Chalev, which can be converted into Ochel, so it has a status of Ochel, this Ochel can have Tuma Nevela. It can have a Tuma Chamura. Because it has a shomer for the item, it has a din of Tuma Chamura. To that, the Gemara answers, Kishishimesh, Maseitz Shimesh. I mean, the Rava again answers that you're dealing with a different item over here. Lo b'torat ochel humitamei, ela b'torat shomer lo ochel. The status of the item changed over here. Before, it was functioning as a protective seal around the kidney. Now, it's functioning as food. Those are two different items. That's ochel. That's a shomer. They have different halachic status. The status is different halachically, as well as the fact that the usage or utility is different. In one case, you're going to use it as ochel. In one case, you're using it as a shomer to protect the kidney that's inside. So over there, again, you've changed it, what it's being used for, and you've also changed the halachic status. So there's no connection between them. A shomer doesn't have to be ochel. A shomer can be a bone, like we've seen before. It can be an inedible item. The fact that it's chalev is irrelevant now. It could be anything to be the shomer. When you want it to be ochel, then already you're speaking about something that has to be edible. That's a different entity over here. And therefore, when you have in mind to eat it, that's very different than when it was a shomer or when it functioned as a shomer. And therefore, it's not the same item that we're speaking about. All right, next case. Amar of Matna, Hare Amru. Bayit shesachcho bizraim taharo. So the house that you put on schach of zraim, of grains, or other food substances, it is tahor. Now Rashi over here brings two different explanations for what is being used over here. The first possibility is, if you sichech beito b'shibolim, you use the shafts of the wheat or the barley, ubehem hazraim, and they have the kernels in there. Everything's in there. It's a whole sheaf of wheat or barley. You decided you wanted to make it into schach, you're going to make that your roof. Right, that's the roof. Batel azraim, benaseo chashuv. That's batel, and that really becomes your roof. And now it's a real ohel. And Rashi says the nafkamina is, if you have tzarat in this house, it's classified as a house. You have an ohel now. You have a real house now. And you can have tumat nigayim. That's one possibility of the explanation over here, which is that the roof is classified as a roof, even though it's ochel. Technically, ochel should not be able to come a house. Over here, when you mevatel it to the roof of the house, it becomes a part of the roof, and now it's an ohel, and now it's subject to tumat negaim. When a house gets tumat negaim, it's tamei a tumat av ha-tumah, because it's mitamei ba-ohel, very high level of tumah that's associated with tumat negaim. That's one explanation. The simpler explanation, and the one that I would have naturally said over here, Rashi brings us the second interpretation, but that's because Rashi says the girsa that we have wasn't necessarily the girsa that everybody was looking at. He says, "V'it the garse." There's some sfarim that have a girsa, which is the girsa we have in our Gemara, which is "Bayit shesichachol b'zraim taharo," that it is tahor. It's obvious what Rashi is saying is the word taharo was not in his girsa. Klomar taharo mitumat ochleha. It removes the tumat ochleim from it. V'naseh eitz. And now it becomes a piece of wood. Did batlo etzel asikuch. Because you made it batel to the schach that's there. So tumato lav d'oraita. The fact now that it is a bayit, and it will function as an ohel now, that tuma must be tuma that's not d'oraita. So in either case, Rashi either says, you have ochel here, that's now converted into an ohel, and now the ohel can't be subject to tumat negaim. That's one way to read it. Or, you have ochel here that before could have been tamei tumat ochleim. Now you convert it into a roof, it becomes a house. Now a house can be subject to forms of tumah. Taro means if it was tamei before, it's no longer tamei. It was ochel, now it's not ochel because you mevatel it. Now it's a part of the house, now it can be subject to the tumah of the house because you were mevatel it to the roof of the house. So now again, he says here, this concept is tumato lav doraita, only midrabanan, because if you think it was a Torah principle, now you have food and substances that can reach a higher level of tumah, whether it's tumat negayim Tumat Olamet, whatever is the Tumah that is part of the house, it has Tumah that is a high level of Tumah and Hava Tumah, which Zraim are not supposed to have. Now you have Zraim reaching that higher level of Tumah. Gemara's answer again is, Kishishimesh, Maseh Eitz Shimesh. Again, you're talking about two different entities. It was Ochel before, now it's a roof. When it's a roof, of course it has a different din of Tumah, but it's a roof, not Ochel. It's not the same item. As if it's changed its name, it's changed its identity, and therefore it's not the Ochel becoming Tumah Chamura. It's a roof becoming Tumah Chamura, which is totally disconnected from the Ochel that it was before. So again, a series of items where you have a bayah here of Rava and Rav Papa Talmud of Rava saying about this concept of Kishishimesh. In Shimesh, they were presenting other instances where Sofola Tamei Tumah Chamura, and in each of the cases, Rava gives the same answer that he gave to the original question as to why do you need Hechsher over here by the Basar Achai that pulls away from the Eber Min Achai. That is because the identity of the item has changed. And in changing the identity, it's no longer Ochel, or the Ochel that was before, Panim Chadashot Ba'ulakan. This new entity is Tamei Tumah Chamura. The original entity, which was Ochel, is not associated with it, and therefore it's not Sofo, the Tamei Tumah Chamura. So, just in summary here, we have a number of cases that are brought by the Gemara that focused on different aspects. A number of the cases focused on something that was Ochel, then transformed into something else that now can have Tumah Chamura, can have a higher level of Tumah. And the Gemara then says that will then undermine the concept that of Hechsher by Zraim or Ochlim that is differentiated from other Tumah or Tumah Chamura. Because then you have now Zraim that also reached the level of Tumah Chamura, which was the unique aspect of Zraim, that they don't reach Tumah Chamura. The answer in all of those cases is the Ochel is transformed into something else. And that is, it's now in another world, it's become a Kli, it's become a roof. There's something different about the item where it's no longer Ochel, and therefore the Tumah Chamura that's associated with it has nothing to do with it being an Ochel, but rather its new status, the Panim Chadoshot that were created over here. On the other hand, there were also other questions from Tumah Chamura, from items that began as Tumah Chamura and then transformed into Ochel. That was the example by the Eiver Min Achai, that then the Basar Min Achai separates away from it, as well as the case by the Chelev that's around the Nevela of the kidney. There, it was originally a Nevela, or had Tumat Nevela as a Shomer, and then later on it becomes a Tumat Ochlim when you have Machshava to eat it as Chelev. So both of those cases started out with Tumah Chamura, and then detached away from it, and now they're Ochel. The question is, that Ochel, does it have the status of the Tumah Chamura that it attached from? And in that case, again, we answered that the item that detaches away, the Ochel that's now is differentiated from the item that it derived from. Which is actually discussed by Rashi and Balei Tosafot back on Ayin Gimel Amud Bet, where they note that when something has Tumah Chamura up front, it's different than something that has Tumah Chamura in the back end. That is, that something that has Tumah Chamura in the back end is subject to Tumah Kala beforehand. But something that is Tumah Chamura in the front end doesn't mean by definition that the item that separates away from it is subject to Tumah Kala. Because the din of Tumah Kala is only said about things that will end up in the end having Tumah Chamura. But those things that start out with Tumah Chamura don't necessarily mean that whatever detaches away from it has Tumah Kala. And you would have to have a Hechsher and a Machshava in order for them to be Ochlim and be Mekabel Tumah. The implications of that are that while it's still attached to the main item, it is subject to Tumah Kala until it detaches away. And that is Meduyak out of Rashi, and Tosafot says it explicitly over there. And then when it detaches away, both the Tumah Chamura and the Tumah Kala will disappear from this item. The Chazon Ish notes that you really could divide up Tumah Chamura into two different categories. That is that there's some Tumah Chamura that is also the result of the item being an Ochel or being in its current state, which is that, for instance, Nevelat Of Tahor. The reason it's going to be Tamei Tumah Chamura on the back end is because it's an Ochel. That means in the front end, it's also impacted by that Tumah Chamura. Both if you remove it, it will still have the Tumah Kala of Ochlim associated with it, or beforehand, it won't require Hechsher because they derive from this same categorization. On the other hand, sometimes you can have a Tumah Chamura that has nothing to do with the Ochlim, like Eiver Min Achai in our instance over here, where the Eiver Min Achai, because it's Tumah Chamura, is what causes the Tumah Kala. But that means as soon as the Tumah Chamura goes away, the Tumat Kala will disappear, like in our situation over here, where the Tumat Eiver is not associated with Ochlim. Therefore, when the Tumat of the Eiver disappears, so does the Tumat Ochlim, in a sense. The Tumat Kala disappear, and you need to restart as an Ochel, because the source or the reason for the Tumat of the Eiver has nothing to do with Ochlim. It has to do with the fact that it's an Eiver. Nothing to do with the fact that it's Basar. The Basar is just a cog in the Eiver to make it into an Eiver. But Basar qua Basar is not important in the Eiver. It could be eights as far as we're concerned. It just needs it to be there in order to make it into an Eiver. And that he says, explains the difference between certain items when they were Tamei Tumah Chamura, that afterwards they will continue to have Tumah Kala, like Nevela Tov Tahor, versus our case by the Eiver Menachai, when the Basar pulls away from it, it will not have a din of Tumah Kala or Tumah Tochlem unless it restarts, gets a Hechsher, and Tumah is conveyed to it. Alright, now the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Mitair. This is the last line in the Mishnah, which is Rabbi Shimon Mitair. It's not really clear how Rabbi Shimon is Mitair. The last case in the Mishnah is where the animal died. Before it died, it had an Eiver Menachai and a Basar Menachai that was hanging off of it. It was still attached, but they were hanging off. It dies. We said in the Mishnah, Mita Ose Nipul. When the animal dies, it's as if the moment before it dies, anything that was hanging off severed from the animal. That means that those two items, the Basar Menachai and the Eiver Menachai, get a status of Basar Menachai and Eiver Menachai. They're not Tamei Tumat Nevela. They're not a Nevela. They're considered separated away from the animal that died. That's because of this concept of Mita Ose Nipul. And therefore, the Tanakama in the Mishnah says that with regards to the Eiver Menachai, it's Mitamei Tumat Eiver Menachai, not Tumat Nevela, which is what we discussed yesterday. What's the difference between them? And the difference between them is the basar that peels away from them. And the basar menachai is obviously not nevela. Basar nevela would be tamei tumat ava tumah. Whereas the basar achai doesn't have tumah associated with it at all. That's mita ose nipul. Rabbi Shimon then says, mitaher. He says it's tor. Gemara says, I don't understand Rabbi Shimon's statement. Monoshok. In mita ose nipul, if the mita causes these items to be as if severed before the death, the tamei bishum eiver menachai. Then this Eiver is Eiver Menachai, and Rabbi Shimon agrees that Eiver Menachai is Tumat Nevela. He ain't Mita no Sendipo. If Mita does not cause the severing of the item, Litame Mishum Eiver Mina Nevela. Then it's a Nevela. It's still attached to the animal. When it died, it's dead animal. That's a classic case of Nevela. So Gemara says, no. Rabbi Shimon Areshakoi. Rabbi Shimon is at the end of the Mishnah, but he's really going back on the first case in the Mishnah. Ha'Eiver Vabasara Medudalim Babeima. Do you have a limb or basar that are hanging off, attached by a thread to the animal? Mitamei tumat uchlim bimkoman. They have the capacity to become tamei tumat uchlim, even though they're still attached to the animal. That was the chidush over there, even though they're viewed as being attached to the animal. To the point where you shecht it, they won't become an nevela. Nevertheless, they are separate enough that they are considered to be uchlim already. That was the tension that we saw. We brought the other examples there, like by dried out figs on the tree, where there'd still be a problem of Tlisha on Shabbat, but they have a din of Tumat Ochlim while they're still on the tree. So that tension exists in a number of halachic areas. The idea that you can be, for some areas you're detached, halachically in some areas you're still attached. Mitzrichin Hekshir. And since they're Tumat Ochlim, they need Hekshir. But Rabbi Shimon Mitaher. And Rabbi Shimon over there is Mitaher, meaning that he thinks there is no Tumat Ochlim over here. So, Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my time under Rabbi Shimon. What's the reasoning that Rabbi Shimon disagrees with that statement of the Tanakama Rabbi Meir? Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says, and we noted this yesterday in Rabbi Shimon Shita, we call it Ochel, Asher Ye Achel. Only Ochel that you can feed to others is classified as Ochel. Ochel Shata Yechol Achilo Acherim, that which you can feed to others, Karui Ochel, that's called food. Ochel Shiyata Yechol Achilo Acherim, food that you cannot give or feed to others, ain't karoy ochel. That's not called ochel. Over here, this item that is separated away from the animal has a din of eiver menachai, or basar menachai. So yes, it can have tumat ochlim if you illegally either have a Jew eat it or have a non-Jew eat it. It's a sur to a Jew and it's a sur to a ben noach equally. Ben noach is also restricted in eiver menachai and basar menachai. There is no eater of this item. So over here, where it has no natural status as an ochel, because there's no natural eaters of this item, it's a sur to everyone. We said in the Mishnah, Rashi noted, if you have intent to give it to a goy, you can make it into okel. That's an illegal giving of the okel to the goy to eat. He's going to be in violation of Eber Min HaChai when he eats it. We said in the Mishnah that makes it okel anyway. Even if you do it illegally, it makes it into an okel. Rabbi Shimon says that's not the case. If it's illegal, it's not an okel. If there's no natural eater of this item, because it's a sort of everyone, then it's not called okel. And that's why you can't have tumat oklim. Samalei Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Yassi, Dilma Taimid Rabbi Shimon Otam, Hol Umi'ureh, Mi'ureh. Maybe his whole reasoning has nothing to do with what you said. It might be true that Rabbi Shimon holds of that. But that doesn't have to be the reason Rabbi Shimon is Mita'er over there. The reason Rabbi Shimon might be Mita'er over there is because it's attached to the animal. Since it's still attached to the animal, it's like the animal itself. That's why it doesn't have tomato claim. It's still considered a chibur to the animal, even though it's held on by a thread. That's enough of a chibur to make it a part of the live animal, and a live animal is not mikabel tuma. So maybe the reason it's mitaher has nothing to do with the fact that it's not ochel that someone can eat. Maybe it's just because it's attached to the animal. And when you're attached to the animal, you don't mikabel tuma. It's not, we had this yesterday, icho shel teina, a branch of a fig tree, shinif shach, that broke away from the main tree, umi'urebi klipa, but it's still attached by the bark. Rabbi Yehuda mitaher, Rabbi Yehuda says, it's still tor, it's as if it's still on the tree. Chamim omrim, im yakol dechiot, if it can survive in that state, tahor. Vim lav, tameh. And if not, it is tameh. I mean, determination of whether it's severed or not is whether it can survive. Ramelina lecha, my time at the Rabbi Yehuda. And we asked you, what's the reasoning behind Rabbi Yehuda's position there? He says you're tor no matter what, whether it can or cannot live. It's still tor. But Martlan, you said to us, the reason is, ho mi'ureh, mi'ureh. Attached is attached. Doesn't matter that it's not going to survive. It's still attached to the tree. The bark is keeping it attached to the tree. And if it's attached, that's called attached. So say the same thing over here. Even though it's hanging on by a thread of whatever it is between this basar achai or Abram and achai to the animal, it's attached. If it's attached, it's attached. And maybe that's the reason behind Rabbi Shimon. If that's the case, then that can't be the reason that Rabbi Shimon's mitaher over here is what Rabbi Yassi said. The reason Rabbi Shimon's mitaher over there is because it's attached. So now, where is Rabbi Shimon's statement said that Rabbi Yassi just brought in the name of Rabbi Yochanan? That could be the explanation of Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah, but it still doesn't help us because Rabbi Yassi told us what's the reason of Rabbi Shimon is because Mikol Ochel Asher Yeachel. So where does that manifest itself in the Mishnah? Ella, over here, the Girsa probably should be not Amar Leh, but rather Ella. Ella means you've rejected the previous statement. Now we're going to offer another alternative, which is Emtziata. He's speaking about the middle case in the Mishnah. We tried the Seifa. We said in the Seifa, there's no way it could be Tahor. We tried the Reisha. We said, yes, it could be that it's Tahor, but for a different reason than Rav Asi gave. Now we're going to try the middle of the Mishnah. Nishkata Beima. When you shech the animal, Hukshura Vidameha. It becomes Mukshar with the Damim, Tivei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Lo Hukshuru. It doesn't work. If you remember yesterday, we brought six different explanations in the Amoraim as to why there was a makloki between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my time of the Rabbi Shimon. And now we're suggesting that that statement of Rabbi Yochanan that came from Rabbi Yassi, what was the reason behind Rabbi Shimon? Damakra, Mikol Ochel Asher Yachel. A reason that Rabbi Shimon says it's not Mukshar the Kabul Tumavir is because it's not Ochel. Why is it not Ochel? Because Ochel Shatay Yochol Achilol Akarim, Korei Ochel. And over here, it's not Ochel because even after you shecht it, it has a din of Eber Min HaChai or Basar Min HaChai. It doesn't have Tuma because the Shechita takes away the Tuma from it. But the Shechita does not matir it ba'achila. That means it still has the status of Eber Min HaChai or Basar Min HaChai. That means it's asur to Israel, asur to Eben Noach. There's no natural eater of this item. It's not Ochel. The case is where it's hanging on by a thread. There's basar min achai or eber min achai, and you shech the animal. So the shechita is efficacious in removing the tuma. It's not able to make it mutar ba'achila, those pieces, because it's basar basadet shreifa lo tochelu, and therefore it still has a din of eber min achai or basar min achai. The Gemara says, wait a minute. The Dilma d'rehaim of Rabbi Shimon b'hai, maybe the reason for Rabbi Shimon over there in that middle case is, ikid d'rabbo, ikid d'Rabbi Yochanan. Again, we had six amoraim give explanations. The first two of them were Rabbah and Abaye. So it's saying, either you could say like Rabbah, or you could say like Abaye, and we said right after we brought Abaye's din, that Rabbi Yochanan said the same thing as Abaye. So That's what it's saying here. Either Rabbah or Rabbi Yochanan, which was, the first explanation was Rabbah, the machloket was whether the behema can become a yad to this Eiver, meaning can the larger item be viewed as subordinate to the Eiver, and it can be a yad to bring the hechsher to these smaller items. And the machloket is, can you view the behema as a yad for the Eiver? That was Rabbah's explanation. And Abaye's explanation was, when you pick up the smaller item, the bigger item doesn't come. But when you pick up the bigger item, the smaller item comes along. Is that called a chibur? Is that called a singular entity in that case? So that could be the reason Rabbi Shimon argues in that case. Nothing to do with the fact that it's mikol ochel asher ye achel. You don't need that pasuk. He has other reasons why he would be mitahir over there. So now Gemara says, okay, elol olam asefa. We're back to the end of the Mishnah again. But we said by the end of the Mishnah, Mimonov Shachir Tameh. If Mita Ose Nipol, it's Eiver Menachai. If Ein Mita Ose Nipol, it's Nevela. So they're Tameh either way. So Velav Eiver, he's not speaking about the Eiver Ela Basar. He's speaking about the flesh that comes away from the animal. Meita HaBeima, when the animal dies, HaBasar Tzarich Heksher. The Basar that pulls away from it needs Heksher the Kabul Tumah. So you have Basar Menachai, Eiver Menachai. The Eiver Menachai does not need Hekshir the Kabul Tumah because it's Tamei Tumah Chamura. It has a din of Nevela. On the other hand, the Basar Menachai is Tahor. So that means that the only way it can become Tamei is through Tumat Ochlim. So now, if it has Tumat Ochlim, it's going to need Hekshir over here. So that's what the Mishnah says. Mishnah says, when it dies, then the Basar Menachai requires Hekshir. The Eiver Menachai has Tumat Eiver Menachai, which is quasi-equivalent to Tumat Nevela. V'Rabbi Shimon Mitaher. On that, Rabbi Shimon says, it's Tahor. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, my time with Rabbi Shimon. What's Rabbi Shimon's reasoning that it's Tahor? I'm Rakra, Mikol Ochel, Asher Yeachel. Ochel, Shatay Yochol Achilo Acherim, Kari Ochel. Seems that you can feed to other people called Ochel. Ochel, Shatay Yochol Achilo Acherim, in Kari Ochel. That's why the Basar Menachai for him can never become Tameh. The Basar Menachai for him is something that has no natural eaters. It's something that's a sur to Israel, a sur to Ben Noach, and even if you intend to give it to someone, it's an illegal achila, and that illegal achila doesn't make it into ochel. It's basically the concept of whether the Torah can dictate the status of an item. The machlokes we're going to see later on in Kodoshim between Abaye and Rova, when the Torah says you can't do something, does that mean that you can't do it? It's just a sur. Whatever you do is efficacious, but the Torah says now you're going to be punished for it. You're going to get malkoth for it. But when the Torah says you can't do something, it means literally you can't do it. You can't change the status of that item. Even though physically you can act that way or do that item, we don't recognize that action halachically. It's as if it's not happening. So it's a similar idea over here. Over here you can feed the item to someone illegally. You can give the ochel to a goy to eat. And again, the Tosfot Yom Tov says you could have given it to Israel too. They're both illegal, but the reason the Gemara always mentions the Ben Noach is because he's more likely to violate the Isur. It's more likely that he'd be less worried about this Isur. And therefore, they always give that example. But either way, you're doing something that's illegal. So when you do that, does that mean that it's Ochel? Because you thought about giving it to someone to eat illegally? Well, the Torah says you can't do it. So that's exactly this concept. When the Torah says you can't do it, does that mean you can't do it and you can't make it into Ochel? That's basically what Rabbi Shimon is saying. Since the Torah says you can't eat it, then it's not ochel, because it's not ochel asher ye'achel. Sure, you can eat it, but that's not called eating in the Torah. It's not called ochel, because the Torah doesn't recognize that. Or, Rabbi Meir is going to say, yes, it's not allowed to be done. It's not ochel, but you can physically make it into ochel. You can physically eat it, and the Torah says you're going to be penalized for it. But that doesn't mean it's not ochel when you eat it. So that's this concept that you can, do you view something through the prism of halacha? Or do you view it through the prism of what's happening in reality? You're eating it. Does that make it ochel? But the Torah says it's not ochel because you're not allowed to eat it. So what is it? And that's basically the idea here as to why Rabbi Shimon says it's not ochel. He brings a particular pasuk to show it in this instance, in particular with regards to Tumah, that if you can't make it into ochel min haTorah, then it can't be Tamei Tumat Ochlim. The final Mishnah of the Perek. Ha'ever va'basar hamidul dalim. You have an Eiver Basar that are hanging off, Be'adam, Tohorim. They are Tahor. So far we've dealt with it with regards to Nevela by Basar of an animal. We've dealt with it with regards to a Sheretz. Now we're dealing with it with regards to Adam. Meita Adam, If the Adam dies, Habasar Tohor, Va'ever Mitame Mishum Ever Minachai. And the Ever will be a din like Ever Minachai, Ve'ener Mitame Mishum Ever Minamate. But it does not have the Tumah of Ever Minamate, Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir's view. Rabbi Shimon Mitaher. Rabbi Shimon, once again, is Mitaher. So just in the three stages here, it's very similar to what we saw before. When the person is alive, and you have an Aver of Basar that are hanging on by a thread on the person, they are Torim. There's nothing over here that's going to make them Tameh. The person's alive. The items are still attached to the person, however precariously that they're attached. They're still attached, and therefore they don't have a din of not Aver Menachai, not Aver Menameit. They are still attached. On the other hand, Meit Adam, once the person passes away, then Habasar Tahor, because that is basar minachai. Va'ever mitamei shum ever minachai. Mita osen nipul. When you die, everything that's attached by a thread severs at that moment. So since it severs at that moment, these items were already detached while he was alive. That makes it basar minachai. We said already before, basar minachai doesn't have a din of tuma. Basar minameit, kazayit minameit is mitamei tumat ol. Basar minachai doesn't have that status. And therefore, like the basar menachai that comes from the animal, there's no tumah associated with it. Aver menachai has the same tumah as tumat nevela, although it's distinct, like we see in the Mishnah here and the previous Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to ask the same question. What is distinct about it? But nevertheless, it has tumah as aver menachai, because it detached from the person while they were alive, because mita ose nipul. Rabbi Shimon disagrees and says it's tahor. Rabbi Shimon, again, the Gemara asks the same question as Rabbi Shimon's mitahir here, manav shach. Either way, it should be Tamei. If, like Rabbi Meir, the Mishnah indicates to us that Mito Senipul, that when you die, it's as if it's severed at that moment, the Tamei Mishum Eber Menachai. It's Tamei because of Eber Menachai, and Eber Menachai has Tumat Hamet that is associated with it. V'ein Mita Senipul, and if Mita does not do Nipul, the Tamei Mishum Eber Menamet, then it should be an Eber from Hamet, which is also Mitamei. Tumat magam asaba ohel. So either way, miman of shach, there should be tumat magam asaba ohel over here. How could Rabbi Shimon be mitaher? Whether you think mitani is oseni pol, whether it doesn't oseni pol, there's a problem. Rabbi Shimon ba'al makai. Rabbi Shimon's like speaking out of the blue. He's not speaking through this particular case. Dekamer tanakamo. The fact that tanakamo says, ha'ever mitamei mishum ever minachai, ve'ena mitamei mishum ever minameit, Rabbi Shimon is responding to the statement of the tanakamo, that there's Aver Menachai, and there's Aver Menameit. And this Aver has a din of Aver Menachai and not Aver Menameit. Alma, Aver Menameit, Ba'alma, Mitameh. That says to you, or that indicates to you, that generally, an Aver Menameit is Mitameh. V'amar Lei Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon makes just a generic statement about that. Aver Menameit, Ba'alma, lo Mitameh. That in general, Aver Menameit is not Mitameh. D'tanya, because we have Abraita. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Shemati, Sheaver Menachai Mitameh. I heard that Aver Menachai is Mitameh, meaning Mitameh, Tumat Maga Masa Ve Ohel. Once it detaches, it's an Aver Menachai, and it's called Yamut, because it's now an irreversible process with regards to this item, and therefore it's a Mita that's associated with this Aver. Rabbi Elezer's assumption is, if Aver Menachai is Mitameh, that means Aver Menameh is Tahor, because he only mentioned Aver Menachai is Tameh. Amalo Rabbi Yeshua, Minachai velo minameit. You're going to tell me only Aver Menachai is mitameh, Aver Menameit is not? The Kava Chomer. It's a logical argument. Ma chai shu tahor, a chai, a living being who is tahor, the person himself is tahor, Aver aporesh menu tameh meit, and something that is severed from him, an Aver that's severed from him, is mitameh tumatameit, shu tameh, when he is tameh, meaning after he dies, lo kol shekein. Isn't it certainly that it should be that the Aver is Mitameh Tumat Tameh? If while the person's alive and they're Tahor, the Aver that severs away has Tameh Tumat Tameh, then when he's Tameh, when after he's passed away, where he has Tumat Tameh, certainly the Aver should have Tumat Tameh. Katuv Migilat Tanit. And he says, I'll bring you another example of this. In Migilat Tanit it says, Pischa Zera, the little Pesach, the lo mispeh. You know that I have eulogies on little Pesach. Little Pesach is Pesach Sheni. On Pesach Sheni, the holiday, quote-unquote, of Pesach Sheni, precludes one from having eulogies on that day. Ha, Rabba the Mispeh? You're going to tell me now the same deal you're making out of the fact that you heard that Avram and Achai is meant to make Tumat Meit. Therefore, Avram and Amit does not meant to make Tumat Meit. So you're going to make the same diuk in this statement. Little Pesach, you're not allowed to eulogize. Big Pesach, you can eulogize. Because Megillat Tanit only mentions little Pesach. Doesn't matter if big Pesach. That means Pesach Sheni, you can't do an eulogy, but Pesach Rishon, you could do a eulogy. Ela Kol Dechein, it's a Kal Vachomer. If you can't eulogize on Pesach Sheni, you certainly can't eulogize on Pesach Rishon. You don't need a specific statement to say that. It's obvious. Hachanami Kol Dechein. So to over here, the statement that you heard Avram and Achai mitameh doesn't mean Avram and Achai is mitameh and not Avram and Amit. Rather, it is Avram and Achai is mitameh, and certainly Avram and Amit is mitameh. I'm like, kach shamati. Says, that's what I heard. That Avram and Achai is mitameh and not Avram and Amit. That's what I heard. That's the pesora that I have. Shid Mikubetzit notes that it must be a case, Kamairi could go into Lekebo to Aver, that Aver doesn't have in it, lo kazayit basar, below etzem kisora. Because each one of those items independently would have been tamei tumat tamei. So this Aver that Rabbi Eliezer is claiming is not tamei tumat tamei couldn't be comprised of either one of those items. Because each one of those independently would have made it tamei. So it has to be an Aver that's a whole Aver, even though it doesn't have either of those items, that's the unique case where he says it's tahor. So that narrows or qualifies that statement of Rabbi Eliezer. So now the Gemara leaves that behind and says that there is an opinion that says that Avram and Amit is not mitamei, even though Avram and Achai is mitamei. And now we're ascribing that to Rabbi Shimon based on this statement of Rabbi Eliezer, that we have such a concept halachically. Umayika ben Avram and Achai, Avram and Amit. Gemara now just moves on to like almost a non sequitur and says, the Mishnah says, like it did in the previous Mishnah, that this is called Avram and Achai, not Avram and Amit. What's the difference between them? They're both tamei, tumat amit. So then, what does it matter if it's Avram and Achai or if it's Avram and Amit? So the same thing here is the same way that it's different by the Tumat Nevela, which is Kazayit Basar Be'etzem Kisora Paresh Me'Avram and Achai Ika Menayu. The difference between them is if you have something sever away from the Aver. When it is Avram and Amit, then that which severs away from it has the same din as a Tumat Amit. Amit, if you have an Etzem Kisora, if you have a bone the size of a barley seed that breaks away from a mate, it has Tumat Magau Masa, not Tumat Oel. If you have basar min amet, then if it's a kezayit worth of basar min amet, it's metamei magam masaba ohel. So from an aver min amet, if basar breaks away from it, or an etzem breaks away from it, it'll have the same tumat amet. We'll continue with it, depending if it's an etzem kisora, it'll be magam masah, not ohel, and the basar will have a din of tumat amet fully. By an aver min achai, which is metamei tumat amet, that's only true when it's an Aver. When it breaks down from being an Aver, meaning Basar that pulled away from it, or an Etzen that pulled away from it, doesn't have Tumat Hamet. That's the distinction between them. It's none. Because we have a Mishnah in Idiot. Kazayit Basar, Aporesh Me'Aver Minachai. You have a Kazayit Basar that pulled away or broke away from an Aver Minachai. Rabbi Eliezer Mitameh. Rabbi Eliezer says it's Tameh Tumat Oel. Rabbi Nechunya Ben Akana, Rabbi Yeshua Mitarim. They say it's Tor. Etzem kisora, a bone the size of a sora that breaks away from a paresh me'Aver Minachai, Aver Minachai, Rabbi Nechunya mitamei. Over here, Rabbi Nechunya Menachano, as opposed to being mitayer before, is mitamei. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, mitarim. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, both say they are tahor. So now you actually have three different opinions as to what happens with Aver Minachai. Aver Minachai that has an item break away from it, according to Rabbi Yeshua, whether it's an etzem kisora, whether it's basar menachai that breaks away from it, they are tahorim. Both of them are tahor. Rabbi Yeshua is in the tahor column in both cases. The Mishnah and Ediot says the reason that Rabbi Yeshua is mitaher by shneihem is because tumata mate is different than tumata chai. Tumata mate has all sorts of different thresholds, including rova kavat samot, Melo Tarvad of Rekev. It has all these types of Tumah that are only associated with the mate, that are not associated with the Chai. And therefore, Rabbi Yeshua says, just like those are uniquely associated with the mate, so too Etzem Kisora and Kazayit Basar Min HaMate are uniquely associated with the mate and not with the Chai. And therefore, if they break away from an Aver Min HaChai, they're not going to mimic the mate, Tumat HaMate. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Chunya Ben Akana each have one that is Tameh, one is that is Tor. Rabbi Eliezer believes that the basar is tamei, whereas the etzem kisora is not tamei. And the reason being is because I think tumat basar is more of the chumrah than tumat atzamot, because a basar noheg b'nevelot u'bishratzim. Basar is impactful both by nevelot and shratzim. Mashen kein atzamot, which is not true by atzamot. The atzamot don't have a din of tumah. That's what we already learned. That tumat nevela does not apply to an etzem. It's only because it's a shomer to the marrow inside that it has tumat nevela. That's only if it has a hole in it. But otherwise, the bone itself that has no marrow or doesn't have a hole in it is tahor, mitumat nevela. So just like by nevela and shratzim, basar is tameh, even though the atzamot are not tamehim, so too over here. The basar that separates away from the Eber Menachai will be tameh, not the etzem that breaks away from it. And Rabbi Nechunya ben Akano has the opposite side, which is he thinks the etzem is tameh and the basar is tahor, because he says that I think the etzem has more tumah than the basar. Basar peresh min achai tahor, because basar that pulls away from a live person or even a live animal doesn't have tumah, whereas aver that pulls away from them does have tumah. Aver is comprised of beyond basar, atzamot and gidim. So you see that atzamot have a higher level of tumah than basar, and therefore I think the etzem over here is tamei and not the basar. So you have a three-way machloket as to what the status of the items that separate away from an aver is. All of those are nafkaminot, no matter which of the three you pick, are nafkamina between aver min achai and aver min amet. By aver min amet, everybody agrees they're all tameim, aver itself, the basar aparesh mimenu, as well as the etzem that's paresh mimenu, all of them are tameim. By aver min achai, according to Rabbi Yeshua, the aver is tamei, but anything that breaks away from it is tohor. And according to Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akano, one of the two is tamei and one is tohor. So that's the difference between them. The Gemara says now, hashta dati dahochi. Now that you noted that machloket, ben Tanakama, Rabbi Shimon, nami. We can explain the machloket here between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakama, not like we did before, that it's about whether aver min amet is mitamei or not mitamei. Rather, the machloket is, kazayit pasar, ve'etzem kisora, ike benayu. The machloket is, what's the status of items that detach from an aver min achai? So Rabbi Shimon is mitaher. Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yeshua, that he's mitaher in both of them. He says that if whether you have an etzem kisora, whether you have basar min achai that detaches from an aver min achai, both of them are torim, like Rabbi Yeshua. The Tana Kama holds like either Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. Either one of them, doesn't matter. But he holds like one of them, which says that one item is tameh, one is tahor. And that's what Rabbi Shimon is responding. Rabbi Shimon is mitaher, because Rabbi Meir says mitameh. He's mitameh by one of the two. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon answers him, is mitaher. Now, it can't be that he holds both of them are tameim, because then, if you say both of them are tameim and they separate away, there's no difference between Aver min achai and Aver min amet anymore. And we need a distinction because Rabbi Meir makes it clear that it's Aver min achai and not Aver min amet, which means that there's a difference between them. If you say both etzem ksora and basar min Aver min achai or tmeim, then there's no difference between Aver min achai and Aver min amet. So in order to have a distinction, you either have to hold like Rabbi Lezer or Rabbi Nechunya ben Akano, that one is tohor, one is tameh. And Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yeshua, who says they're both tohorim. And that's what it means. Rabbi Shimon mitaher at the end of the Mishnah. You can explain it this way, rather than the way that Rabbi Eliezer claimed before that Rabbi Shimon might hold that Aver min achai is tameh, but Aver min amet does not have tumah. All right, we're going to stop here at the end of the perek. Hadran alach, haor, varotev.